the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad. Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear Muslims all around the world, Salamun Alaikum, and welcome to today's special from IRIB English Radio. This is a special program for the commemoration of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba's martyrdom. So please accept our condolences on this day.
يا أهل بيت النبوة يا أهل بيت النبوة.
Today Tuesday is the 7th of the month of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of September 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. On behalf of my crew in this program, we offer our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, Shia second Imam, peace be upon him.
Ana al-masmum ya Zahra. Aqumi wa aftahi al-qabra. Ana al-mahmul wal aqwa. Karmini إلى ضلعيك يا أمه ضميني
Muawiyah's plot to poison Imam Hassan alayhi salam. It was Muawiyah's ardent desire to impose his son Yazid upon the Muslims by making him the succeeding Khalifa, despite the fact that Yazid was the playboy of the time with many evil habits. But the peace agreement would not permit Muawiyah to appoint Yazid as his successor. According to the argument, Imam Hassan would immediately become caliph upon Muawiyah's death. Therefore, it was obvious to Muawiyah that if al-Hassan did not outlive him, Muawiyah could do as he pleased. Thus, Muawiyah planned to kill Imam al-Hassan in order to pave the way for his son Yazid to be his successor. Muawiyah sent one of his agents to contact Imam al-Hassan's wife, Jouda. Jouda was asked a small favor, that is to put a little poison in al-Hassan's food, and in return Muawiyah would give her a large sum of money and also make her wife of his son Yazid. A few days later, she mixed poison in honey and gave it to the imam. As soon as the imam took the poison, he became seriously ill. Sensing that his death was imminent, the imam designated his brother al-Hussein to be the third imam. Today's special, IRIB English Radio, expresses its condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Shia's second Imam, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, alayhi salam.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with some of the merits of the second infallible Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. On the authority of the fourth infallible Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salam, the second infallible Imam Hassan ibn Ali, who was in fact a paternal uncle of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, was very pious and the most pious of all people in his lifetime. At the same time, we find that it's indicated Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam performed the Hajj on foot. Please consider the distance or the long distance between Mecca and Medina. And Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam performed Hajj several times on foot. I mean, traveling from Medina to Mecca on foot. And this journey means that he intended to show his utmost respect for the house of God, for Baytullah al-Haram in Mecca. At the same time, we find that he was very pious, so pious that whenever he remembered the day of resurrection, death, and the Sirat Bridge, which are going to take place, to happen in the world hereafter, he used to shed tears for this. And whenever Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam intended to perform Salat, he became quite restless because he knew well that he was standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he recited the Holy Quran and reached this phrase, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O those people who have faith, he would say, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, meaning, O Allah, I've answered to your call. At the same time, we find that Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba al-Islam was the most generous of all people in his lifetime, so that nobody went to him requesting some assistance, some money, or any other kind of assistance unless he was satisfied. Because of this, Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba al-Islam came to be regarded and referred to as Karim al-Taha, the generous person of the household of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
زهرا و حسن قرآن و حیدر و زهرا و تسعت المعصومین من ذریت الحسین.
The sublime character of Imam al-Hasan, controlling anger. A man from Syria saw Imam Hassan riding a horse and started insulting him. Imam Hassan did not reply to the man. When the Syrian stopped, Imam Hassan proceeded towards him and after cheerfully greeting him said, Old man, I believe you are a stranger. Maybe you have confused me with another person. If you ask forgiveness, it is granted to you. If you ask for a means of transportation, we shall provide it for you. If you are hungry, we shall feed you. If you are in need of clothes, we shall clothe you. If you are deprived, we shall grant you. When the man heard the words of Al-Hasan, he cried and said, I testify that you are Allah's ear on his earth. Allah surely knows to whom he assigns his message. You and your father were the most resented of Allah's creature to me, but now you are the most beloved of Allah's creatures to me. The man then directed his caravan and became their guest of the town until he departed while believing in their love.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.
Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba's words of wisdom. Imam Hassan alayhi salam said, O people, he who advises for Allah's sake and betakes his sayings as guidance will surely be led to the most upright way, and Allah will grant him success to the right guidance and will direct him to the best. The disciple of Allah is certainly secured and preserved, while his enemy is surely fearful and disappointed. Be cautious of Allah by very much mention of Him, fear Him by means of God-fearing, and approach to Him through obedience to Him, for He is surely near and replying. Answer Allah and believe in Him, because it is improper for anyone who acknowledges Allah's greatness to behave arrogantly. The sublimity of those who acknowledge Allah's greatness is certainly their modesty. The dignity of those who acknowledge Allah's majesty is their submission to Him, and the safety of those who acknowledge Allah's power is to acquiesce to Him and to avoid denying after acknowledgement and deviating after guidance.
Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, he was not only very pious, but also he was very humble. At the same time, we find that Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam wanted to help other people. He collaborated with others, I mean, helping them. It comes true that once some people, I mean, some bystanders, I mean, usually beggars, or for example, people from low class of society, came to invite Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam, I mean, with just a piece of bread. And Imam al-Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam answered the call and satisfied the wish. Now we find that the second infallible Imam, al-Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, who was very pious, came to be, I mean, unfortunately, he has been, I mean, misportrayed in certain works. The reason is simply that he, first of all, he was an infallible Imam, and he was amongst the staunch supporters of his father, Imam Ali alayhi salam. And because of this, we find that both Umayyad and Abbasid rulers tried to mar his figure and his personality in the text that certain people wrote at the instances of the Umayyad, Marwanid, and most probably Abbasid rulers. Thank you very much.
کریم عالم آقام آقام حسن کریم عالم آقام آقام حسن کریم عالم آقام آقام حسن کریم عالم
That was all for today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. And again, please accept our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hassan, peace be upon him. May Allah keep us among his followers.
Ya Aba Muhammad, Ya Hassan ibn Ali. أيها المجتبى يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك قدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله
Food for thought. Hello everyone, since today is the 7th of Safar and it happens to be the martyrdom anniversary of the Holy Prophet's elder grandson and second infallible successor, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, let us reflect on a gem of a saying from him. Generosity is to begin with providing the gift before it is asked from you, and serve food in times of famine, while meanness is the fewness of giving and the speech of obscene language.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Firstly, we would like to send our condolences to the Imam of the time, our master, Imam al-Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman, and to all the Shia and all the Muslims throughout the world on this being the recorded demise, or according to the weekend narrations, the demise of Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability and the opportunity to visit the Imam alayhi salam in the cemetery and in the blessed cemetery of Baqi, together with the other Imams who are buried with him, and for us to really and truly do the ziyarah of these four Imams. What a blessed place where four Imams are across the blessed haram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Majidun Nabi. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do the ziyarah of all of these, you know, bright and splendid lights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ease, in peace, in tranquility, without being disturbed, inshaAllah. So Imam Hassan alayhi salam has this tradition and narration, which shows that, you know, we as individuals should seek advice, and not only should we seek it, it is something that we should act upon. For acting upon advice would lead towards progress and advancement. So the Imam says that there was no qawm, no tribe, no group of people, no society, whatever word you want to use, a group of individuals, right, who sought consultation with another. So they sought consultation from another group of individuals Again, there are conditions of who you should seek consultation with, or what you should seek consultation about. All this was discussed in some previous programs as well. And who knows, maybe in the future we will discuss it again. But in this tradition that is not mentioned, it just says that that group of people who discuss and seek consultation with another group, it will not lead to anything except the progress and the development of that particular society. Why? Because they are taking advantage and are learning from the experiences of another community. So they can see this is bad, this is good, they did this, this happened, this is a result of this action, and so on and so forth. So here we see it is not only the seeking of advice, but acting upon that advice. How is there going to be any progress if the advice is not acted upon? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of those who seek advice truly, and from those sources that, you know, deserve and are worthy of advice being sought from, inshaAllah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. And assalamu alaikum to you, dear audience of this program. I'm really glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of different interesting parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. We are going to talk about a famous reciter. Then we are going to listen to one of the recitations of that famous reciter, preceded by its English translation. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. And besides these parts, we are going to have some other interesting Quranic segments. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha. He was born on August 12, 1922 in the city Bila of Kifr Sheikh Governorate. He was sent to traditional school in Bila at the age of 6. Before he turned 10, he memorized the whole Quran. Then he went to elementary school, but oftentimes he would leave school to go to traditional school because he very much liked to become a famous reciter. His first Quran recitation teacher was his father, Ahmad Shu'aisha. He had a warm voice and precisely pronounced each and every word and letter. Gradually, Sheikh Abul Ainain Shu'aisha became a very well-known and skilled reciter. He was admitted to the Egyptian radio while he was only 17 years old, and he was the youngest reciter to enter the radio. He was first an imitator of Sheikh Muhammad Rifat's style of recitation, but gradually he developed his own style. Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aisha passed away on June 23rd, 2011, at the age of 89. Dear audience, now let's listen to Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aisha reciting Suratul Isra, verses 1 and 2, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. Glorified be He, who took His slave Muhammad for a journey by night from Al-Masjid al-Haram at Mecca to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, the neighborhood whereof we have blessed, in order that we might show Him our signs. Verily, He is the All-Hearer, the All-Seer.
Saying, take not other than Me as disposer of your affairs.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى
Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul Isra, verses 1 and 2, by Sheikh Abul Aynain Shu'aisha. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this is the very beginning of the recitation of Sheikh Shu'aisha. And he starts with A'udhu Billah and Bismillah. The Bismillah is in another maqam other than Bayati. It seems to be maqam Kurd, Al-Kurd. And only the Bismillah is in this maqam. The first and second verse that he recites is in Maqam Bayati, the Maqam that you would use at the beginning of your recitation. Regarding the first verse, we have Qasr of Matul Munfasil. How do we know that? Because at the beginning of verse 1, we have Alladhi Asra. We have a Ya'ul Mad followed by a Hamza and another word. And because there is a separation between the Mad and the cause of the Mad, we would have Matul Munfasil.
Disjunct Mad.
The disjunct Mad. So Qasr means that he lengthens it only to two vowel counts.
Just as much as a normal mad.
Just like a normal mad, such as Subhan. Subhan is two vowel counts, the ha. Alladhi asra, the ya is two vowel counts. Okay?
Yes.
Laylam minal, we have idgham of noon sakina into the letter meem. When we have a tanween, such as this tanween, or we have a noon sakina, followed by one of the letters of idgham,
yarmalun.
Yarmalun. Okay. Ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, and nun. Idgham takes place. Idgham means that the nun sakina of the tanween, or the nun sakina itself, should not be pronounced. Instead, it should merge into the next letter and make that letter mushaddad. And if it's one of the letters of ghunna, such as this meem, you have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts. And the letters of ghunna are?
Yamun.
Yamun. Ya, meem, waw, and noon.
And if it is lam or ra?
There's no ghunna. It's idgham bila ghunna.
Tajdeed exists, but without ghunna.
That's right. Aqsa. The way that he pronounced the saw was very correct because it had tafkhim. Aqo saw, saw.
At the highest level, I think.
At the highest level because there's an aliful med and also the qalqala of the qaf. Aqo saw. Of course, this sawd is not pronounced with the highest level of qalqala because there's a hamzatul wasl after.
So the long the vowel med. Becomes short.
It becomes a short vowel. Aqo salladhi.
The way you said,
but the first time, actually,
level.
Yes, the first time he stopped on Aqsa, right? He applied the highest level. The second time, he started from Asra, Asra bi'abidihi laylan, until the Jim, the Waqf sign Jim above the word Ayatina. Asra bi'abidihi laylan min al Masjid al Haram ila al Masjid al Aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min Ayatina.
And the meaning of jim?
Jim means waqf is jaiz.
You're allowed
it's
to stop.
Allowed. Of course, I'm not sure if he stopped on hawleh or not, because that's also a place you can stop. Hawleh. Okay? Then we have linuriyahu. Ra has kasra, which means it has to be pronounced with
tarqiq.
لِنُورِيَهُ. Of course, you have to make sure that there is contact with the tip of the tongue and
the alveolar ridge.
The alveolar ridge, the place of articulation of ra. Oh. If you say لِنُورِيَهُ, لِنُورِيَهُ, that's incorrect.
Yes. This is something like an approximant.
That's right. Like the English R that we have. And إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ Basir. The scene has the longest timing, right?
Yes.
And we hear clearly the tashdeed of scene along with the necessary amount of timing. Huwa sami'ul basir. He doesn't say huwa sami'ul basir. Huwa sami'ul basir. He doesn't quickly move on.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't quickly pass. He makes the necessary pause on the scene. Okay?
Yeah, compared to the letters of Shidda and
Tawassut. It has longer
it
timing.
It has the longest timing.
That's right. And the word Isra'il is Maddul Muttasil, which was four or five vowel counts, depending on the speed of the recitation. It seemed to be five vowel counts. And one thing, Allah Tattakhidhu, This means, this is like the sentence, this is the second part of the sentence. We gave Moses the book and we made it guidance for the children of Israel so that they do not, you know, we could say they do not associate a partner with God. Mm-hmm. The Ella, so that he changes the maqam a little bit. He uses maqam Husseini. Maqam Husseini is very similar to Bayati. There's just a small difference between Husseini and Bayati. And probably the ordinary listener wouldn't be able to tell the difference mm-hmm. between Husseini and... But it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We could actually hear a difference, but we don't know how, what it is, okay?
Yes.
But the point is that because it has to do with the meaning, he wants to convey the meaning, mm-hmm. and that is why he changes the intonation and also the maqam, mm-hmm. both together.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن. When your horse returns to our camp riderless
أزور سيدي ومعتمدي ورجاي
The ocean of dua
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي
I did us to fend for ourselves Hussein, Hussein the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of زيارة إمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة العاشوراء. So stay with us.
فلعن الله أمتان أسست أساس الظلم والجار عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمتان دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
In the previous programs, dear listeners, we discussed over the issue of cursing, and we mentioned in the previous program that the reality of cursing is actually harmonizing oneself with the divine spirit. We had different verses of the Holy Quran also suggesting that the curse or expulsion from divine mercy is not just for this world, and it can be for the dead ones as well. The Holy Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, those who accuse honorable and unwary faithful women shall be cursed in this world and in the hereafter, and there shall be a great punishment for them. Or the verse which says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Indeed, those who torment Allah and His Apostle are cursed by Allah in the world and in the hereafter. Or the verse that says about the wrongdoers, لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. The curse will lie on them, and for them will be the ills of ultimate abode. So, these verses clearly indicate that the process of la'n does not stop in this world, but sometimes continues in the hereafter as well. So, overall, when one invokes curses, he actually first expresses dislike for the cursed one, who in reality is a composition of his beliefs, thoughts, words, and deeds. Then, the one who curses, or better say, the one who invokes curses, expresses his stance regarding falsehood, corruption, oppression, and all that is evil. Then, he trains his spirit to dislike and detach himself from the characteristics of the cursed one.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The expression of curse, brothers and sisters, somehow we can say enables us to think of the root of the matter. When someone invokes curse, he realizes that it is the evil habits of the cursed one that is making him curse him in the first place. So he struggles to eliminate even the small shades of the habits in himself, and after that tries to invoke curse. If that invoking curse is for real, of course, then he expresses his concern to repel harm from himself and others. One of the effects of curse is death and divine punishment. If curse would bring about the death, destruction, and illness in one who is harmful for the society of human beings, it is nothing but extreme mercy. This is what we have clearly mentioned and argumented for in the previous programs. And the last stage of invoking curse is assimilating the divine spirit. Indeed, the human being was created to represent Allah on earth. So, by following Almighty Allah's demeanor, he manifests the divine spirit. Okay, Now, throughout the previous programs, we could define la'n as the meaning of expelling and banishing the one who has had evil actions. And we also tried to clarify on the difference between sab and la'n. And we mentioned many cases of la'n throughout the verses of the Holy Quran, as well as the traditions mentioned both by the Sunni and Shi'i scholars. And in the end, we said that cursing does not actually contradict the merciful behavior and demeanor of the person who is cursing. And at the end, that the cursing does not stop in this world, and cursing of the dead ones has also occurred in the verses of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, thank you for staying with us. We are done with this part of the ziyarah. فَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ أُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, may Allah distance from His mercy the community who laid the foundation of wrongdoing and injustice against you, O the household of the Prophet. We will, inshallah, move on with the next part in the next programs. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss the problems, issues parents face when raising the children in an Islamic way. The answers are, as usual, all based upon the holy book of the Quran, and the narrations of the Prophet and the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us yet again. Our topic is still about how to correctly fix the mistakes and wrongdoings of our children when they commit them. So far, we've spoken about how we should fixate on the cause of the problem and not on the child and not to blame him. And we've also said most times the parents, they forget to use this approach, meaning fixating on the causes of this problem, asking why the child commits these problems, because most times they themselves are the mistake. Mm-hmm. Correct, Sayyid?
Correct.
Please continue the discussion and enlighten us further.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. There are a few things that we need to also consider when we're trying to rectify, correct, and fix the mistakes of our kids. Like you said, we said the main point is how we look at things and make our aim and our goal the problem itself, not the child. We need to teach our children how they can learn from their mistakes. For example, if a child fails in a subject, you come to him and you tell him about the importance, for example, of time and how we should utilize and use time correctly, and how we could, or how we should have a balance between time and studying.
Right.
And why is it important for a child, for example, to succeed and become a successful person and, you know, excel in his studies. When you teach him these things, that will create a sense of dignity within him. It makes him live, right? It makes him feel alive from within him. It gives him the right teaching, the positive teachings, rather than if you come and tell him off. Like, why are you stupid? Why are you this? Why are you that? You're failing. This person's better than you, this and that. So that kind of blaming system always, because it's negative,
it backfires.
It not just backfires, it will always give you a negative.
Right.
A negative will give you a negative. It's a math equation.
Of course.
A positive and positive will give you positive. So when you talk positive to your child and explain to him how he can learn from his mistakes, then it becomes like a candle that would light the way for him, that would pave the way for him, that he can see with, and he can easily avoid mistakes in the future as he goes on. Why? Because he's been taught the right method. He's been taught why this is bad, and what he would get if he does this in this way, and so on and so forth. So he feels good about himself.
It also changes their perception, I think, because when they make a mistake, they just think, oh my God, I made a mistake, I've messed up, this is going to be horrible. My parents are mad at me, and so on and so on.
Of course.
When the parent comes and tells them, you've made a mistake, here's how to fix it, it completely changes their outlook for this problem and all other problems
of
that they will face in life.
Of course. It creates a sense of trust in them when it comes to themselves and with their parents as well. When they feel that the parent is willing to sit with them and negotiate rather than just slap them around,
right,
which makes a huge difference. Another thing that as parents we need to teach them to learn to accept responsibility for their mistakes.
Right.
So instead of me just trying to bash them up or yell at them or scream at them for a mistake they made, no, let's teach them how they can accept responsibility and
fix the problem, right?
And then he will fix up the problem himself. Without having to, you know, him having to blame his school or his teacher or his this and that. We can say to him, okay, if you